Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Ooh, today is good, big guy. Here's the headline. Kansas Senator's message to non-Christian constituents. I would be happy to try and convert you. This comes via the Great Kansas Reflector from author Rachel Mipro.
Yeah, Rachel is definitely way more to the left on the woke MAGA meter than she is to the right. I don't necessarily think that's good or bad. I'm just saying she's definitely more left.
I did not know that there were left-leaning people in the great state of Kansas, which is...
Yeah, well, dude, they passed the whole abortion thing. Clearly, there are some people there that are.
Well, let's listen up, kids. Here it is. A Republican senator told a Muslim woman that he would be happy to convert her to Christianity when she asked him how he planned to fairly represent all his constituents, not just those who shared his religion. Rija Nazir, a 22-year-old recent Wichita State University grad and campaign organizer with Loud Light, said she wanted to give Mark Steffen a chance to explain his perspective when she asked the question after seeing a large Bible on his desk and knowing his strong religious views. Said Rajia, "I obviously knew a little bit of background about him, but I didn't want to let him just write himself off. I wanted to have a chance to let him speak for himself." He mentioned his desire recently for godly legislative results in a Facebook post at the start of a veto override session. I do feel like this is a little bit of clickbait, but there is something to talk about here.
It's not just a little bit of clickbait. There's a lot of clickbait. But as yesterday, as you and I got into our one of our best rows around the idea that the world can't possibly change, you say that Gen Zers can't change.
Yep.
Well, these are Gen Zers that are going to this guy, and they're trying their best to change aside. Let's start with, I think we would both agree with this, that this guy is a giant D-bag, right? The senator from Kansas is a D-bag. And the reason we think that, or at least I think that, you can weigh in if you want to, is that not because he's a Christian, not because he's ultra-conservative, not because he's in Kansas, but because he has no ability to understand that as an elected official that he has to represent all of his constituents. And in order to do that in a pluralistic democracy, we are not Iran, we're not living under the Ayatollah. In order to live in a pluralistic society, you have to accept that not everybody is going to be just like you. And the reason why this article is written and this young lady had an issue with him is he's basically saying, "Hey, I'd love to convert you." In a sense, what he's saying is, "You're a Muslim, but you're wrong. And let me tell you why." You don't get to do that as an elected official, in my opinion. That's why I think he's a D-bag.
Yes, I would agree with everything you said, unlike yesterday where it disagreed with everything you said.
That a Gen Zers can change the world? Is that what you're saying?
I just want to take this to the 5,000-foot view level this thing. Just help me understand this. Why do evangelical Christians believe that the only possible way to go to some sort of afterlife is through their God, even though they are way outpopulated by other religions of the world? Why do they hold on steadfastly that they're going to go to heaven and everybody else is going to burn in some sort of eternal hell?
Well, number one, it's not just evangelical Christians. There are lots of groups around the world. If you look at the Hasidim, the Orthodox Jews, they believe fundamentally that they are the chosen people and everybody else is going to basically go to hell. If you look at a lot of Muslims, they believe in this idea of kismet, that God has already decided the fate of all humanity and you're basically doomed to hell or not, right?
Okay, so
Mormons, right? Mormons don't believe, they believe that if you're not a good Mormon,
they'll baptize you after you're dead.
Right. They could say, so there are all sorts of belief systems in place for people that think that they've got the answer. Now, here's the problem. Not one of these people, including this asset from Kansas, have ever actually talked to God and had a conversation. They've just not, because that doesn't happen. God doesn't come and say to these people, "This is what you need to do." And they would say, "Oh, I had a vision. I had a prayer." I'm like, "That's great. That's wonderful. You can't prove it. There's no way you could prove what you're saying." So in a sense, all religion is an exclusivity claim. Like, for instance, if I say that if you don't drink chocolate milk every day, you're going to go to hell, that means that I'm saying that every single person on the planet that doesn't drink chocolate milk, that's exclusive. that says that's what I believe, that's what's going to happen. Either it is going to happen or it's not. It cannot be that what you believe is going to happen and what I mean, they won't work. Logically, that doesn't work, right? So they have to take this exclusive claim in order to make themselves feel okay. I think there's a lot of psychology behind this. It makes people feel better to be more important, it's one thing to say, hey, I'm a Christian believer and I believe in the saving grace of Jesus. And I believe that if you believe in Jesus, your life will be better and you'll get to go to heaven. But without the other side of that saying, and if you don't, you're going to burn in hell. That's what this guy chooses to think, right? He doesn't say Jesus is, they might give a little bit of a cursory nod to that. Well, and by the way, Jesus is good and you'll live a better life. No, they live their world. Their world is all based on who's in and who's not. That's what I think it comes down to.
And then the other thing, to circle back to what you said at the beginning, is that it would seem that our elected officials, but I know this is not the case for majority of them, don't understand that they are there to represent everybody in their district, in their state, in their government. By the way, I'm sure people will get angry, but President Biden said that after he got elected. I am here to represent those that did not vote me, something that Donald Trump clearly does not want to do.
Right. And I think there's a level of maturity or immaturity in this when you understand sort of the Republican small r, that we're part of a republic and that we have to, our elected officials are chosen to go and represent us, regardless of whether we agree with them or not. Now, does it mean that the person that's representing us has to throw out their own belief system? Of course not. They got elected with that belief system. But I think there is a line, a very, very clear line of demarcation that says that you do not get to punish people that don't believe like you. You could say, hey, I'm going to follow these policies because I believe in it. Let's take the idea of reproductive whatever, right? So people are on both sides of that issue. And some people that are on the side of anti are angry about, you know, they fundamentally believe they're saving lives. And I think that's a good thing. If they come at it from a place of really feeling like they're trying to save lives.
Yeah.
The problem is they're ultimately, because of their strong belief in that, they're also blind to other things. And they're not willing to actually have a conversation around that. They're stuck in it. And I think it's the same thing for people on the other side that say that, I don't know what hot topic it would be for the wokesters, but there are things that the wokesters believe in that not everybody agrees with them on. And that's okay. So you can't force people to believe what you believe just because you believe it. That's, I think, what it comes down to.
Yeah, and I think about this all the time, specifically with my in-laws who, you know, I want them to say like, hey, just because you believe it is not meaning that it's true. So like, how do we have this discussion? By the way, I get that about abortion, right? I can literally understand how someone says that's a life and we need to protect it. I get that. That's a good argument.
Yeah, no, and that's very true. But if they're not willing to look at the other side and say, hey, there's a big thing on 60 Minutes this week about that they have one of the highest infant and mother mortality rates in the first world, not just in the United States, but in the first world, because they're so hardcore anti-abortion that they're not even allowing women who might also be anti-abortion to get the medical help they need, because there are times where you have to abort a fetus to save the life of the mother. This isn't debatable. This is a fact. And so this is where it comes down to, are we going to lose our minds? Are we not going to have a conversation? Are we not going to try to meet in the middle? What is it? So maybe abortion is too heavy laden. Maybe that's just like, but what other issues? Let's take multiple religions like this guy, this Candace Center. Like, are you telling me that as an elected representative, you cannot say, I disagree with your belief system, but I believe that you have the right to believe what you want to believe? Is that too controversial for him to take that stand? Because that's what it feels like. Marjorie Taylor Greene wouldn't accept it either.
And they always walk back. He's trying to walk it back later, like, oh, I didn't mean that. No, you do mean it. You do mean, if you are a Muslim, the only way that I can interact with you is to convert you. Other than that, you're useless.
Because I don't know if it's that he's saying they're useless as much as he's saying you're wrong and I'm right and I'm going to help you figure out what's right. Now, let's just for kicks and giggles, right? Just for kicks and giggles. You get to the great getting up morning. This dude's sitting up next to this girl. And Allah comes out. He's like, brother, you were wrong. I sent my prophet Muhammad. And therefore, you're gonna burn in the eternal chasms of hellfire. That dude's going to be like, what? What are you talking about? Whoa! Right? It's like, I think whenever you get into this exclusivity claim that cannot be proven, you are in dangerous territory. Fine. Believe whatever you want. Create your own subreddit if you want to on it. But if you are an elected official in the United States in a pluralistic nation, you cannot do this, period. If you don't like that, then don't run for public office, period.
And that's where we're at in our world and with our politics. And that's why we've gone down the rabbit hole. And that's why the Proud Boys stormed the Capitol and Donald Trump might be president again.
Yeah, because people, we've gotten to the point where we've drawn a line in the sand and we've said that we are not going to listen to either side. And I do think that, by the way, I do think that the progressive left, the wokesters, are just as much. They would sit there and look at this guy and say every view he had was wrong. And you know, everybody's trans and everybody's non-binary and everybody, you know, like, I mean, he could say, well, no, where's your evidence? Well, we don't have evidence. It's how we feel. Like, well, then, okay, that's your opinion. It comes down to whose opinion is stronger than the other. So it's crazy land.
Brendan, I'd like to thank you that the great getting up morning, it might be Allah up there. And maybe I guessed right. Maybe I guessed wrong. Thank you.